This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Fantasy Football, who's been dominating fantasy football since forever. Football season almost here. And listen, you can never, ever, ever be in too many fantasy leagues. I'm living proof. I've been playing fantasy football, I think, since 1991. Is that possible? Well, Yahoo. I mean, imagine back in the day, we used to have to mail stat sheets to each other. That's how we found out whether we won or lost the week. Now, 2024, you have the newly redesigned Yahoo Fantasy app. It's smarter, faster, more fun to use. Such easy features. You can set your winning lineup faster every week. You can get advice and analysis from the best fantasy football experts. And with Yahoo, there's another reason to join a league. A chance at cold, hard cash. Go to yahoosports.com/theringer. Someone will win $1 million. All you have to do is play in a private Yahoo Fantasy League and enter the sweepstakes by September 5th. Enter now at yahoosports.com/theringer. No purchase necessary. Open in all 50 U.S. states and D.C. for ages 18 plus. And September 5th, 2024. See official rules at yahoosports.com/theringer. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise. But if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Hi everyone, welcome to the final Writers' House of the Euros before the summer, where we'll be wrapping up Spain's win over England to become European champions for the first time in 12 years. And my guest is Mr. Ryan Hunt.
Good morning, man.
How are you, Ryan?
How are you? It's nice and early.
It is quite early, Ryan, but like I'm just still mulling over. It's still, you know what I mean? It was a late one last night with the ITV crew. So, you know what I mean? It's still kind of fresh in my head how everything is. But, you know, it's obviously quite sad because we got so far. And the belief of, wow, it's kind of like we're going to do it because, like, we get the draw and we're getting luck and we're getting everything. But then what you realize is, like Roy was saying, listen, when you come up against a good team, quality team that know exactly what they're doing, you know what I mean? Of course, you know, you can't sustain moments, but you're going to have to come with something else. And I just think that last night, the realization of, you know something, we haven't really got anything else to give in this moment was really quite sad for me.
Yeah. I mean, we're recording this at 7. It's literally just turned to 7 a.m. on Monday morning in your hotel room in Berlin before you bounce. Mm. And we were going to record it last night, but obviously post-final stuff got in the way. And yeah. I think actually, I'm glad we got that little break because I feel like waking up on the morning after,
Yeah. It
kind of gives you a little bit more clarity or just that. I know this sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but I don't really have much to say about this game that I imagine that I wouldn't have had at any other point in the tournament. Spain were really, really good. England were actually, despite some of the concerns that were going on at the end of the first half, I put in the Writers' House group, I was just like, Gareth would be really pleased with that at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, haven't really conceded any. There was no shots on target.
There weren't no shots, right.
0-0. England come back out for the second half. There's no Rodri. Everyone's just like,
wow. Yeah.
All right, here we go. And actually, there was an interesting couple of tweets that I saw from various people saying, like, what we thought would be a real plus for England in the second half with Rodri not coming out, I think made England just drop their level ever so slightly in midfield.
You know something, if you are in that dressing room, right, and you've just had the half that England's had, I think we had one shot on target, it was Phil Foden's
yes.
half, kind of half strike what he had, pretty cool strike for someone who was leaning back and falling away. But honestly, when we heard the news, Rodri's not coming back out, because before the game, we were worried about what we're going to do about Rodri and Fabian Ruiz. And you could see where we started. We kind of started with Phil Foden following about, Declan Rice kind of following Fabian Ruiz about. And it kind of like nullified everything. There wasn't a lot going on, and saying that there was nothing hardly going on from our point of view. So I was thinking, right, we've held them off and we haven't really done anything. I was starting to think, listen, we're going to need to change something, because, you know, we know that they can go again. Mm. You know what I mean? Obviously, when they came out and they scored that goal pretty quickly, you know, it was like, it was a real shocker. Like, oh fuck, conceded us so early. Okay, it's early enough. And I did really feel like, you know, so we'll get something simply because of what we can do off the bench. And yeah, obviously that's what happened. But I thought the way we played, right, in the first half, again, you know, we had nothing up top, you know.
No.
You know, with all due respect to Harry, I don't know what's happened. I'm looking to hear maybe he's been carrying something. And
yeah, but I also think that so many players look a little bit tired, off the pace, because it's just the end of a massive long season. And it's weird how that extra game, just that extra round of games, and the expanded tournament makes such a difference in terms of just dragging it out, and that extra, even longer, like, than you kind of want it to
and
be.
You know what's
really
funny? Because when we're leaving, because one of Roy Keane's guys, Spanish friends, who he had at Sunderland with him, is with the Spanish team. And, you know, obviously Roy went to see him just quickly afterwards. And he said, honestly, when you're playing in a tournament like this, that extra day alone is massive.
Yeah, because Spain had the extra day, They didn't go to extra time.
Didn't go extra time. And the thing is, you could see it, because I think that a few of us looked. I thought Jude Bellingham out on his feet.
Yeah.
Out on his feet. Just going back to, you know, and I don't mean it in a bad way, because there's a couple of times in the first half where when we broke, we got one person running out with no one backing him up. At one stage, there was a dude on the left-hand side, and there's four Spain players bearing down on him. In the end, came right, and they won the ball back. And that's how it felt. Mm. It was going in the first half. What I was expecting, Rye, was, right, reset, man. Mm. Let's fucking get going. There's no way he's going to take Harry off after 45 minutes.
No.
So I'm thinking, listen, we're probably going to have to play an hour like how we played last night.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Technique with Tom.
Slicing an English muffin with a butter blade? Boulder Dash! Just pull apart with your hands and marvel in the nooks and crannies splendor. For each one is unique, like a snowflake. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
That's the weirdest thing for me. I think that having done all of that work in the first half, to keep it quite boring, to then let it get
in so
exciting in the first couple of minutes in the second half was... And that's why I think the Rodri thing maybe not spooked them, but had the inverse effect of what they thought it would.
Because you can't... Just before, also on that, right, you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, if Rodri is gone, then we definitely are fucking getting some luck in this tournament. That Zubimendi came, and let's face it, right, it was a seamless fucking transition from him.
I mean, he's amazing.
You know, and you know, you can't blame England for feeling like, oh my God, Rodri's... But like, I looked at Rodri celebrating at the end and looked all right, jumping up and down, but Zubimendi just came on and just controlled it even more to a certain extent. It seemed to open up a bit more.
Well, I mean, the two youngsters involved in the goal, you freeze it when Lamine Yamal's on the edge of the box. Mm. And bear in mind, he's only just turned 17. How many young wingers in that position would just try that? Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan, but we was trying to explain yesterday, we were just talking about it yesterday, we were just trying to explain the level of maturity for him as, like, obviously 17, just turned 17. It's and playing at this level, right, it's very, very difficult for people to understand, because they keep saying, oh, here we go again, he's 16, I'm sorry, he's 17. But the decisions he makes for a player of that age, it just makes me wonder, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, being 14, 13, 14, and he's playing football. He's playing man's football at 13. If he's got the maturity he's got now, yeah. And it's just mind-boggling how good he is. The maturity of him, how he plays, the quality of his play, the weight of his passes. The fact that Luke Shaw done pretty well on him,
but he
never
did, yeah.
Fucking phased him.
No.
It's not like a young player, you're thinking, oh my God, somebody's got him now. He's got all the hype and he's trying too hard. He just fucking played like a mature player.
He reminds me a lot of what they say in the NBA quite a lot, where the best players let the game come to them.
Mm,
you know, you don't force it. Shout. And it's like, that's a really, really hard trait to have, especially in a player who was fucking 12 when COVID hit.
I know.
Like that tweet that someone put in the group, yeah. Was it Carl put in the group the other day? Absolutely sent me.
Yeah. It just kind of makes you, you do just go like that.
Whoa.
Wow.
That is how young this person is.
Mm.
And the fact that
Right. Again, that's what a lot of people are doing. You see what you just done there? Because the same with Williams, I thought Kyle Walker done really well. Kind of kept him at bay, you know, didn't really go past him too much. He kind of was flattering doing a bit, and you're thinking he does look like he's never flustered him, just kept going. You almost felt like they went in the dressing room and the manager just said, just keep playing.
Those battles were probably the most intriguing two battles on the pitch, because neither had a howler, neither got done in terms of Luke Shaw and Kyle Walker. There was one amazing bit in the second half. No, sorry, I think it was late in the first half where Williams gets put through on the left-hand side and Kyle Walker just keeps up with him and keeps up with him. Fair play for someone who's not exactly in the middle of their career, no, Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Absolutely rapid. And I thought just both sides was a really, really good battle. And again, using another like NBA-ism, at the end of the day, it was just a matter of good offense beats good defense. And no howlers, no. And actually, in terms of the final itself, I'm actually kind of pleased that there wasn't any England kind of like managed to somehow like smack it off the back of someone's head into the top corner for an own goal, or no, you know, Pickford invited a bit of pressure a couple of times, put his hands up, but nothing super dangerous. Maybe actually, was there a chance? Was it this, they had a chance for the second? I think it might have been.
Was that Olmo's chance?
Olmo's one really quick afterwards. Mm. That was probably the closest that England got to something being like, right, chill, calm down, keep this together, don't completely fold now. And actually, that was a major, major opportunity. I think Danny Olmo probably should have done better there.
Mm.
And if it's two, then I think England are in mad danger.
Just quickly, you mentioned Danny Olmo, but him not scoring that goal, if it didn't work out for them, you'd have to think, and it did stay like it. Whatever happens, if they did win that game or they lost that game, he's safe off the lines probably.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's a goal for him. That's a fucking goal for him. Because
that
was
unbelievable.
Unreal, because I'm thinking at that stage of the game, Danny Olmo to be where he was, to head that off the line like he did, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, are we really going to get in this game how we've played? Like Roy was saying, listen, as much as you can get that kind of luck and you can feel that you can get yourself to the next level, at some stage you're going to come up against a team, you're going to need to do more. Like Gary was saying, you know what, it's time to, he wanted Ollie Watkins and he actually wanted Anthony Gordon on, which was something that I could see from the first. We needed something like that. We needed something where the pace could just blast us out and give them a different problem.
The problem with England is the fact that they have got to the final and they could have won the tournament, and yet there were still problems that you could have isolated or highlighted and things that you could have improved on in terms of selection potentially or the way that they play. The Kane thing is interesting because, for example, what Kane's been doing really well this season for Bayern is dropping in and playing that kind of pass, you know, and it will...
The one we know he does, yeah. With the runners.
And it works really, really well if you've got like a Serge Gnabry or a Leroy Sané or even a Musiala who's been breaking in quite nicely. You don't have that for England, right? And you definitely don't have that when you go to a back three and one of them is Luke Shaw, who's only just come back from injury and played really, really well.
Yeah.
But they're different kind of players. So the amount of times we saw like people like Jude Bellingham or Phil Foden kind of just looking a bit frustrated.
I think you had too many people in
who wanted to play in the same area. Mm. And that was kind of it. And the thing that got England to the final was the fact that the squad is just really good. Yeah. They're just really, really, really good players who, at the end of the day, can kind of have that those moments like they do against Slovakia. Spain, on the other hand, Spanish Football Podcast wrote an interesting tweet at full time, which was, before the tournament started, you'd say that Spain's first choice midfield would have been, well, this is obviously going a while back before Gavi was injured, but it would have been Pedri, Gavi and Rodri.
Yes.
And they went through the entire second half of the final without any of them. Lost Pedri early on in the tournament, remember? And the fact that there were a couple of players in that Spanish 11 that you might be like, oh, I'm not sure I'd have them over certain players in the England 11. However, the way that they played, but De La Fuente, I think, deserves quite a lot of credit because this is a different Spanish team to Qatar. And the inclusion of Williams and Yamal only kind of burst onto the scene this year as well. Mm. To have them both starting in the tournament and look that balanced with someone like Morata playing the kind of Olivier Giroud 2018 role, it just all looked balanced. And then you have someone like Olmo come in and it's seamless. And you have Zubimendi come off the bench or Oyarzabal come in for Morata and everything just looks balanced. I think with England, it was kind of like having a dish that was 9/10 there.
Mm.
International tournaments aren't Premier League seasons.
Mm.
They're tactically different. Mm. They're majorly condensed and they can be teams can be fundamentally different tournament by tournament, right? So I feel like from an England point of view, before obviously we kind of give Spain a bit more love, it's not been terrible. It's just not been what they would expect it to be with this group of players.
You know, we could go on about England, but like you're right, you know what I mean? In the end, we just didn't quite have the last ingredient and, you know, we could sit here and point fingers and blame as much as we want, but we've got to give Spain credit.
They become the first side to win the Euros four times.
Four times, yeah.
England, on the other hand, become the first team to
lose back-to-back.
Back-to-back European finals.
Unbelievable to get Euros. There. You know what I mean? And really sad for some of those players to do that twice. Because there was a moment, obviously, Cole Palmer coming on and scoring that goal was, for him and for everybody, was absolutely fantastic. Got to say that England fans in the stadium were fantastic.
Mm.
They were so excited. And it's just as the Spanish fans, I remember saying to Roy Keane, when the Spanish fans started singing, ole, 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 then we scored. And I was like, yes, now come on. But I just couldn't see it. There was a slight chance when the ball went over the top for Ollie Watkins. I don't know what quite happened. I was just expecting him to lift it over, but I think that someone got a block on it or something. Because, well, it didn't happen. But like the more I look back on it, like I say, right, I just felt like they just had so much more. Like we talk about their wingers in respect of, you know, Williams started to see, it wasn't like he had a season where he ripped it to shreds.
No, it was that copper run really that kind of they started to look at noticing. Really started
and
to
the same
kind of
with Lamine.
Lamine Yamal. I mean, what you imagine that it's always a bit too soon.
Well, this is what I'm saying. When you listen to Gabriel last night speaking about Cobby and Gareth, because obviously he's very tight, and he spoke to Gareth about Cobby, and he said in March, and he says, "Yeah, we've seen him, we noticed him, and we just don't think he's quite ready, right?" To Cobby, and I'm thinking to myself,
"He looked so
ready." As soon as I saw Cobby start playing for United, I'm thinking, "We ain't got anything like that in our midfield." He is so fucking ready.
He has had a tournament.
Yeah.
Man. I really think so.
And then you look at Spain with like a 16-year-old and E and alongside Williams are starting at the Euros. You're thinking to yourself, if this works, then it could be absolutely supernova for him simply because of the way they can play with Rodri, with Fabian Ruiz. You know, I do like Olmo, but obviously Pedri, I was looking forward to seeing Pedri, but Olmo's come in and, you know what I mean, he's been fantastic.
Different kind
Again,
of player as
different
well,
kind of player,
though. That's
a high-pressing player, you know, different.
He's adaptable. He's someone who might not be, when someone says, oh, who do you think Spain are going to start with? It's not someone that you'd maybe be like, oh, Dani Olmo.
Mm.
He's not like he strikes me as kind of someone who's, he's not necessarily like a trendy player. Do you know what I mean?
No, he's not, but like the way he plays.
He's amazing. And then, you mentioned Yamal and Nico Williams, players who turned 22 and 17 in the tournament. Mm. You know, started the tournament with 16 and a 21-year-old on the other side. And
started them.
and started them. But you know, they had like, but they also had this balance through the side. You know, I think like Lenormand and Laporte as the back two, centre back two pairing, that on paper thinks like, you think there's joy there.
Yeah.
Actually, with Cucurella and Carvajal as fullbacks as well, you'd look at that back four and be like,
I'll have a go at that.
Yeah, and actually,
if you've got the right players,
but they were so well balanced in front of them as well that they rarely looked in mega danger, apart from maybe like the Germany game.
Yeah,
the Germany game is the one,
and even the Germany game. You know, even when they went behind in Germany, what I love about them, what we spoke about yesterday, is they didn't panic.
No, nope.
They carried on playing because they know how they're going to play, and they're just saying, you know what, they'll blink. They'll blink like the way they caught us in the end. You know, and the finish was fantastic from Williams. You know what I mean? Just people just were a little bit out of, you know, coming out of, obviously after, a little bit out of sync where Luke Shaw was, kind of lost him a bit. Then when you see Williams come in from, he kind of loses like Walker and, you know, just a bit out of position and you're punished.
Yep.
And you're punished.
And the same for the second goal.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Trojan Condoms. Experience more with Trojan Bearskin Raw, America's thinnest latex condom among leading brands. Enjoy triple-tested Trojan quality with a natural feel for your most thrilling adventure yet. Trojan Raw is also available in non-latex, designed to increase body heat transfer between partners. Trojan Bearskin Raw. Let's go. Tap the banner to buy now.
This episode is brought to you by Vitamin Water. So much of what the world is obsessed with starts out in New York City. It's a place full of style and character that has something for everyone. With a range of flavors to meet any kind of taste, it's no wonder Vitamin Water was born there. Colorful, flavorful, anything but boring, Vitamin Water injects a daily dose of vibrancy into a watered-down life. Grab a Vitamin Water today. Vitamin Water is a registered trademark of Glasso.
Second goal was brilliant, though, right?
That was so good.
Great centre forward
I thought
play.
You'd love that. Like, yeah.
I really did because, like,
he's
you know
a
what?
Player,
it's something that I was missing from us because the ball came into him quite awkward the way, then he laid it off first time and he fucking went. He really attacked that box to the point where I'm thinking he must be marginally, fractionally, toenaily offside. The way he went in there. And
he celebrated like he thought he was offside.
Yes. But the thing is obviously, you know, when you see it, he wasn't offside, but the ball in from Cucurella, again,
so
is something that Cucurella's not picked anyone out there. He's put the ball into an area where a fucking forward should be attacking. And we, unfortunately, in the whole time that we played in this tournament, I wouldn't even say that the Ollie Watkins goal, what he scored the other day against the Netherlands, was one. It was just a normal run from inside to out, shot across the keeper, which was fantastic. But this was great play, getting between two defenders and finishing. And again, I go back to ourselves. Our forwards haven't been doing that in this tournament. So,
but I mean, the interesting thing, though, is that Morata's not really been doing that either.
No.
But also, I think like it's just the link-up play benefits the players around him. It benefits Yamal. It benefits Williams. It benefits Olmo. I think we struggled to see that with England through the tournament. And that's the margins.
Yeah, it's the margins.
It's the margins.
The amount of changes, you know, we've gone from Trent to Connor. We've kindly settled with Cobby. And I just think in the end, coming into a tournament, like Spain have, they come in with their plan. They know what they're going to do. They stuck to where they're going to play. And in the end, the best team for me in the tournament has won the tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
The best team in the tournament has won the tournament. And they just have to... They have to get credit for that. Their manager, De La Fuente, has to get flowers for the way he's come in. You know, as soon as he's come in, he brought back the Real Madrid players because, you know, Enrique left them out and stuff like that. He brought them back in, brought in these two young players, you know what I mean? You know, built off of the great Rodri with one of my favourite players that I think I've seen for a long time in Fabian Ruiz.
Yeah.
They did it. And I just, you know, a credit to them. We were talking about ourselves and where do we go from here? And that's exactly what you do. You pick yourselves up because the list of players we've got, you know, with Gaye, Walton coming in.
Gaye had a great tournament.
He did have a good tournament.
Really,
and then
really
you look
good.
At the bench as well. People like Ezri Konsa coming in, doing a great job. But when you look at the players we've got in Cole Palmer, in Saka, Foden,
I mean, we didn't really talk about the Palmer goal. I mean, no, came on and did exactly what Cole Palmer does. Which
and
is
then the thing is again, Jude, whatever people say about Jude, you know what I mean, how he looked tired, and even he said, and Gareth said, you know, he looked shattered in the couple of games that he's played. He said, were you thinking of taking off Jude when he scored over a kick against Slovakia? He says, well, you know, he's looked tired in all of the games. And again, he was the one that sets that back for Cole to come on and finish it. And I was pleased for Cole.
Yeah.
Very pleased for him because, again, he's pushing to start. We can't quite fit everybody in, but he's coming. Again, someone off the bench has come in and made a difference. But like you say, Ryan, I think I'm probably going to finish on that. You know, we there's just something missing from the pot at the minute.
It'll come though. I think
fingers crossed because we've got players young enough, and you just have to go again.
I mean, this is the best group of players or best England squad I think I've seen in my lifetime for sure. And
in respect to creativity and quality,
and also just to be, I know that you want to get over the line and win them, but if you look at the teams that England have faced in those finals, Italy in the previous Euros. Mm.
Then what on a 37-38 game winning streak?
Got past Spain in the semi-final, who I thought were the best side in that Euros. Yeah. Spain in this Euros got past Germany, who I thought were
Italy,
probably the best side.
They got past
France.
France, yeah. Rodri's saying he'd beaten four World Cup winners or something.
Rodri loves a chat when he's won something though, doesn't he? My God. Two finals in four tournaments, three semi-finals in four tournaments. That's kind of amazing. And you've lost to like two really, really good sides.
Yeah, he's done brilliantly.
I personally would like to see him step away from this now. You know, we've talked about some of the criticism, or we've kind of criticised him in certain aspects through this tournament. I think warranted, but also I think it's really important not to forget what he's done for this team.
Yeah.
He was the perfect, I think, manager for this group of players at a certain time through their evolution.
Yeah.
And I feel like they just need a little bit more now. They need kind of like something like a Nagelsmann came in at Germany.
Mm. So it needs a real fresh impetus.
Yeah, and really, really go in on the tactical stuff.
I think. Because we've got the players that are good enough.
Got the players, and they're all playing week in, week out in like really elite tactical systems. Like they're ready for that. Whereas in the past, I don't think a lot of them. Yeah. I don't think a lot of those players were.
Mm.
But yeah, I think overall, like Spain absolutely deserved to win the final.
Without a shadow of
a doubt. They deserve to win the tournament. Germany was my pick before the tournament, and I think whoever won that game,
I think it was clear to go on. Germany, and the way they started, just thinking, yeah, they look like they're going to do it, but they came up against Spain.
Just very quick shout before we go, because Moose and I'll talk more about this on the other stadio that's going up on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Argentina retained the Copa America.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations to them as well.
And they've gone Copa America, World Cup, Copa America.
Wow.
Much like Spain did in the 2008, 2010 12, World Cup,
10,
and
12.
Then 2012 Euros. Messi with another international title.
Well,
in Miami as well. You can't write that.
You actually can if you're Messi.
I know you can. And actually, the thing I love about that is that when people say, you couldn't even write the script, it's like you could have absolutely written that in a script.
Oh boy, but you know what, right? It's been fun. Berlin's been amazing. Berlin's been very good. You know, I was thinking, wow, there's a lot of talk about Berlin, but it's not overrated. It's a fantastic city. You know, again, I just have to say just quickly on Gareth, you have to thank Gareth. He kind of spoke yesterday like he was talking about England in the past tense.
Mm.
I'm not sure what more Gareth can do, but like his contract's still December, so I don't know if he's going to oversee and see it till then, but whatever he does, I just want to say, well done, Gareth, my friend. So proud of you, what you've done since Sir Alf Ramsey, the most successful manager we've had. And we went to that fucking well a couple of times and just empty for us. Spain already been there a couple of times and took everything out. So, you know what? I'm very sad for those players because it must be tough to go to those levels and not get it. But then you have to find something to go again because that's football, isn't it? That is how football works, bro.
It's been lovely, like, getting to see you every couple of days for a month.
It's been nice, isn't it, Ryan?
It's been really fun. And Wright's House is going to take a break now till the Premier League starts.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we kind of, you know...
Unless something comes up and we just, we just pick up the mics again.
Yeah, why not? Quick reminder, final few tickets for Wright's House Live in LA. You and I will be there 26th of July. Go get him now at the Luray Theatre. We're very excited about that.
Very, very excited about that.
We're going to take a few days off before that. Well, Moose and I are going to do this other stadio. But yeah, other than that, should we go? Because you got a plane to catch.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed the Euros righty's ass, because I've enjoyed it. Been very good. The journey's been very fucking up and down, I've got to say. But in the end, like I say, I think the best team won. We kind of rode surfed that wave for a while, but in the end, you know, the wave ran out. Have a great summer, guys. And yes, we'll see you when the season starts again. I think I'm starting. I got a Community Shield with Man United, Man City, so it won't be long. So we'll see you again soon, and we'll go again, everybody. We'll go again.